Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the men's room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a tiger.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, hello, welcome and listeners now, 96.5 WCMF Rochester's Classic Rock. You just missed it, guys.
You got here at the right time.
God, you just missed it. And 98.9 The Rock, Kansas City's Rock Station, and our friends at Big Talk 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri. Big show for you today. The exciting return of Who Sucks Less, What You Don't Need to Know, share some dirty company secrets. And our question, as we have the college scandal going on, as a lot of Hollywood and some rich people have been charged in a huge college admission scandal based around one guy. The FBI called it Operation Varsity Blues, and a man named William Singer set up a fake charity that rich people would pay into. In exchange, he would fraudulently get these kids into some of the top schools in the country.
Can you imagine setting up a charity just to take people's money to do favors?
Yeah,
straight up
bribes.
That sounds wild.
Man, oh man. No one will ever think of that. What a genius.
And this is from People, one of my favorite stories lately, which I just thought was just so ridiculous. But former NFL player Johnny Manziel's wife, Bree Tessie Manziel, is denying accusations she cheated during a half marathon earlier this month, despite multiple reports suggesting the contrary. She is a fitness and Instagram model, and she participated in the Run Like a Diva half marathon in Temecula, California. Deadspin initially reported that she claimed that she was the first ever half marathon that she'd ever participated in, and that she had not received special training to prepare for the 13.1 miles.
What would be special training for a marathon?
You just need to train.
Right. I mean, like, you got to keep running, right?
While her result is not that unusual, according to the Houston Chronicle, the median time for women running half marathons is just over 2 hours. How she got there was a little bit different. On paper, she would have had to finish each mile in around 9.6 minutes, but according to her mile-by-splits, which are currently posted on the event's official website, she reached the 6.4-mile split in 1 hour and 31 minutes.
Okay.
Meaning that for the first half of the race, she was running each mile at about 14:20.
Okay.
That means that in order for her to finish the half marathon in under 2 hours, she would have had to run the last 6.7 miles in 26 minutes. A pace of 4 minutes per mile that would have been faster than the current world record.
But she says that is what she's done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
It would have been the best also current women's world record for just 1 mile. Set back in 1996.
Well, why don't they just do this? Like, look, if you're telling the truth, run 1 mile, mm-hmm. We'll time it.
Further complicating things, the fact there's no data when she passed the 11-mile marker. It marks these things. That's how they keep the time on these chips. And when you go back and you look at your times, you can see what your pacing was and all that stuff. In a since-deleted Instagram story, she denied accusations that she had cheated to obtain her fast results, even posting a photo of the 11-mile marker at the race. How sad and pathetic that people even try and make these type of accusations against me. Our question, how did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-999-OLA.
I also like the update on that story. Like, a woman that ran the race was like, yeah, I saw them taking pictures afterwards. Like, they weren't even sweating.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course. Anyway, you can get a picture of the 11-mile marker, but right, you have a chip that is with you everywhere you go, and nothing bounces off. And like you said, I've done maybe 3 or 4 of these things, and I've hated every single one of them. And I don't remember where we were, but yesterday I swore them all for life. But right, at the end of the race, you'd go home, go online, and I could see what my pace was. Well, my pace was horrible, but and believable. Like, you believe that me running 3 miles took as long as it took, but...
Right, if she had ran that time overall and every minute was nine minutes, every mile was 9 minutes, nobody would have batted an eye.
But
it's just that you were 14 minutes, and then all of a sudden you can run the fastest mile on record, or basically on record.
Right. On record, you're running the fastest.
How did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Nate. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitcholas.
Hola.
So, really fast, Miles, don't feel bad. My mother paid me to do her algebra when I was in high school, her college course.
Yeah.
So, don't feel too bad, buddy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I didn't feel bad about it at all, to be honest with you. I was so happy it was over. I was like, I didn't care.
My my girlfriend and I, we were together in Vegas. When Albertson started putting in those self-check registers, we found out that no one really watched or paid attention to them. So what we would do is we would put frozen chicken or steaks or whatever and ring them up as bananas, because bananas were 50 cents a pound.
Now listen.
And we would walk out of the grocery store with about $100 worth of chicken and steaks and pork chops for 50 bucks. We thought we were doing good.
No one paid attention to you doing it. I woke up to self-checkout, man. It almost gets quiet.
It stops. It's you messed up. Let me come over here and check on you.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I'm always assisted. I'm like, I got it, man.
Take the item out of the bag.
How long did you guys get away with this?
We did this for about 6 or 7 months, and then they started putting somebody, at the end of the register.
Yeah. Did you feel kind of good, that you created, essentially you created a new job because of the activity that you and I'm sure thousands of other people did? They're like, you know what? We got to keep an eye on it.
It did have a scanner on it, though, that you could technically scan it in if you wanted to. You just didn't put that scanner up there with a barcode?
Yeah, we just put the barcode facing up and then just lay it on the scale, and the scale registers, okay, what are you putting on here? Well, I've got 10 pounds of bananas, thank you.
Mm-hmm. A lot of gorillas shopping at Albertson's lately.
Okay.
They lost a lot of money on those things.
Well, I remember, and things have changed now, when I was living in Baltimore City, when we took the bus to school, it was just a city bus, right? So business people, right? It's just a regular city bus. And at the time, it's either $1 or $1.25 to get on the bus. But when you put your dollar bill in the machine, it was, I'm trying to think what the best way to compare it. It was basically a glass box. So when you put your money in, you could see all of the money that had been spent. But the bills, it wouldn't fit in just flat, so you had to fold them up. So the kids, every day, man, they would stand outside of the bus stop and they'd rip their dollar bills in half. Yes, I know it's a federal crime. Get over it. But the kids would rip their dollar bills in half, fold it up, and you couldn't tell, and they would slide it in that thing. So basically, you got 2 for 1 on the bus. So the kids would keep a dollar and spend a dollar. And this was for about 2 school years. And then in the 3rd year that I'm going to school there, that's when all of the buses, at least there, had changed over to the slide your dollar in and it's electronically read.
I can't believe it was pay to go to school to ride the bus.
Think of it. It was a broke-ass school district.
Can you imagine being a kid and having to pay to go to school?
Man, right. I didn't even want to go to school.
That's what I mean. I got on the bus and it just sucked enough to get on the bus and it was free.
Well, to be fair, do you think I was spending my money at 14 years old to get on the bus?
No, but you shouldn't have to spend money to get on the bus.
I agree. I'm just saying I had no skin in the game, man. That's Dad paying for this. But, Dad, if you're listening, I made that money go twice as far when I learned. Hey, man.
Cost efficiency.
I did not tell him that, so I would end up profiting about $6 a week. Right? And at the time, you go a month, that's 24 huge. Whole dollars.
How did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
I just want to first say congratulations on show 3000, guys.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
But no one say congratulations on 3004. I mean, look, if 3000 is something, what is this?
3003.
This is 3. All right.
Maybe they will. You don't know.
Well, that explains why. Never mind.
Happy 2025.
That's right.
So the way I've beaten the system, I've gotten out of quite a few tickets over the years, but the most memorable is over the course of a year, I got 6 different tickets for the exact same thing, and I got out of all of them.
Now, did you commit this crime, whatever you want to call it, violation, 6 consecutive times, or you just kept getting ticketed for the one violation?
So the ticket was for excessive noise due to broken or missing exhaust.
Okay.
And I had a receipt and a certification that said, no, you purchased a full exhaust system. And I went to court every time and showed it to the judge. And he's like, all right, have a nice day.
Do you have a regular exhaust system?
Oh, no, I have aftermarket exhaust.
Okay, is it supposed to make the car louder?
Inadvertently, yes, it makes it louder, but it's supposed to also make it perform better.
So all you had to do was show that you've purchased this thing, not necessarily that you have now installed it into your vehicle.
Correct. I did get a 7th ticket for excessive noise, but it was due to modified exhaust. which they technically, it's been modified because it's been changed. So one officer finally got smart, but I got out of that ticket too.
And how did you get out of that ticket?
I gave him a handy.
Because Washington state law says that if anything is modified from factory, including down to your spark plugs, oil, tires, anything, your car has been modified and it must be crushed. You're no longer allowed to drive it.
Okay.
So,
and when you point that out to a judge that you have to, that he has to go outside and crush his car, he's not very happy about that.
So are you saying that the judge's car was modified?
Because even if you get an oil change, that is a modification that is not done factory. The car was made.
What do you do? What do you do with these cars that you need all the performance?
Get tickets.
I take mine to the track and do track days and things.
Okay,
like that.
Fine. All right. Okay.
Well, at least you do that.
Yeah. It's not like you're trying to get laid.
All right. Well, cool, man. Do
I, would, I just I wouldn't want to be pulled over all the time.
No. I wouldn't either. Well, I definitely would.
Is Thumpin' Bass Guy, is he in violation of the noise ordinance? Like, we're up, we're on the 14th floor of a building.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, a car will go by on I-5. And we can feel it.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive. Like, how many batteries does that car have in it to just drive that much power?
I don't know, but I feel like if the cop pulled me over, right? And no matter what he says, you know, I'm sure it's the, hey, do you know why I pulled you over? No matter what he said, what? Sir, do you have, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You're like, and I'm just wondering, like, is he getting laid? Like, does that work?
Yes.
He is.
Yeah.
Some chick's going like, oh, his car's sold out. I got to F him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's is that exactly what you're,
like, really?
Why else would you
I
do?
Don't know. That's the only way I
why do you put on a necktie when you go out to dinner sometimes, right?
Ooh, I'm getting laid tonight.
That's it. Motorcycles do it, too.
Motorcycles
bikes are not supposed to be that loud.
Yeah, no, of course.
How did you or someone beat or get around the system? Or your calls on the way, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Bellevue, Washington. A Bellevue driver found out the hard way you can't just put your own homemade license plates on your car and call it good.
Damn.
Police say the driver was pulled over early Saturday after an officer observed a Sovereign Citizen license plate on the vehicle. Members of the Sovereign Citizen movement do not recognize U.S. currency and believe they are free of any legal restraints. This is according to Wikipedia, anyway.
Come on.
The plates on the driver's vehicle said private, no driver's license or insurance required, not for commerce use, private mode of travel.
Why would you think that's going to work?
When the officer asked the driver for identification, registration, insurance, the driver refused to provide it, according to the report. The officer then discovered that the vehicle was unregistered, with the title failing to have been transferred. When the officer asked the driver several times to exit the vehicle, he refused. And that's when the driver learned that actually he was not above the law. He was arrested and booked for investigation of traffic offenses and obstructing an officer, and the vehicle was impounded.
Well, now he has his own sovereign jail cell,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, that what they've tried been doing down in Key West for years with the Conk Republic?
A lot of people. There's a lot of groups of people and things like that that pops up. And they just say, hey, man, I'm a sovereign citizen. Like, come on, dude. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If it worked, everyone would just say it and get out of everything.
There's no country called sovereign.
Right. We'll send you back.
How did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
How you guys doing?
Doing good. Excellent. How you doing?
We talked to a member of good. Royalty earlier today. I don't know if you knew that.
That's, Kiss Army guy.
That's big stuff.
He's a knight.
It really was.
You got a fancy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the way that we scanned the system a little bit, like most teenagers, we hung out in the mall a lot when we were kids, you know, whether seeing movies or whatever.
Sure.
But malls always had those big banks of payphones, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember what payphones are, right?
I sure do.
I do, yeah, of course.
Okay, just just had to make sure, considering, you know, yesterday's caller had to remind you, too.
About the Nintendo?
Nintendos and payphones, yes.
You know what that is? Exactly. A bag with the cartridges in it?
So, yeah, what we'd do is we'd go by those payphones, and we'd find any of them that had the wires exposed on the back. And we'd cut the wires on them. So what would happen is people would come up, they'd try to use the payphone, you know, they put their coins in, and it wouldn't work. Well, they didn't have any power to it. They'd try to hit the little change return thing, and no money would come out, so they'd move to the next one and try to call again. Well, we'd come back a few hours later, reconnect those wires, hit that change return button, and it would pour out a bunch of quarters.
I mean, like, how much money on the average did you get on each phone?
That's pretty brilliant.
I mean, how much money? It just kind of depends on how long you let it sit. We let one sit for a whole weekend one time, came back, and it spit out about $6.
You know what, though, man? Like, at the time the payphones existed in malls, quarters were the best currency because they still had arcades.
There's one by my bus stop. Yeah. I always wonder if it works.
You just take all the quarters out, walk around the corner. Not that I would do something like this, but if I did, yeah. I would certainly walk around the corner to the arcade and have it paid for.
You always wonder what the person is doing who is on the payphone.
Having a really bad day.
I mean, you're
having
yourself,
the worst moment of your day.
You can walk up to anyone and go, listen, I lost my phone. I'm in a jam. Would you mind calling this number, or can I call this number? And send a message or whatever the deal is, you know?
No, you cannot use my phone. I don't know you. I don't trust you. I don't know what you're into,
man. That's true.
I don't want my number part of your world.
But, I mean, at some point in time, it just seems like that would be the first choice before the second choice, which is trying to find or use a payphone.
That's what you are having. I don't know if it's your worst day, but you're having the worst part of your current day. When the last time I had to use a payphone, it was at the Cincinnati airport because my cell phone had fallen in the toilet. Right? And it just put it in a bag of rice and all this. I did all this stuff. Basically, the rice soaked up a bunch of pee. The phone still didn't work. I had to find a payphone, right? And the airport, you're probably your safest bet, in all honesty. There was like two in the entire airport. And even when I asked people that worked there, they're like, man, like, I've seen it. I know it's here. But they're like, bro, seriously, I don't know.
I've never used it.
I finally find a payphone, and then I realize that I have no change. And then when I finally get change, it doesn't take change. The payphone at the airport in Cincinnati, or Kentucky, or wherever it actually is.
It's Kentucky.
Is it Kentucky?
It's Covington.
Covington. Yeah.
But it's a Cincinnati.
That's why they
airport.
Have a smoking section. Yeah.
And now look, I mean, I could use my debit card, but like it doesn't take change anymore. Use your debit card. And even as soon as I pick up the phone to make a call, and keep in mind, it's hard to make a call because you don't know a lot of phone numbers.
No.
Right? It's just someone's name. But everyone is staring at you. And Miles, that's exactly what you said. The looks on their faces, you could tell they're just wondering, what is he up to?
Mm-hmm.
What is he up to? There's no other reason to use a payphone unless it must be something illegal.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you just bring up Covington. That whole area, and not that it's not geographically reasonable, but the whole reason that that area even exists, there's an airport there and all those things, is because the state of Ohio said, we're going to tax this much. We're going to do this on this much property tax. We're going to do this much on this business tax. We're going to do all those things. And they went, well, Cincinnati needs a new airport. And Kentucky went like, hey, you can jump that river and build it over here, and you won't have to do any of that. And they all went, oh. And then all the rich people are like, we'll build houses, big houses for you.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Everyone else, if you're unfortunate enough to have to go to that airport for any reason at all, you do save money as a result.
But that's the whole thing. The whole area is built off the fact that no one in Cincinnati wanted to have to pay those taxes.
No.
So they basically just went across the river, became Kentucky residents, and Kentucky's like, we don't even have government, man. We don't even tax people.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, here's a lump of coal.
Dude, the hell you want.
That's exactly. How did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-4999-OLA.
Hello, Dusty. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up, bitches? How you
hola.
Doing?
Hola.
So I got tons of stories, but I'm going to minimize it down. I spent a good majority of my life, in my younger years, my 20s up until 30, fighting the criminal system in probably not the best of ways. But
you're fighting the criminal system because you are, in fact, a criminal?
So you're fighting.
That is admissible in court. You're how do you plead?
That's debatable.
You're fighting the legal system,
right?
Not the criminal system.
You know, I mean, for 13 years now, I've actually been sober, thanks to Department of Corrections, and I'm an upstanding citizen. I got a full time job. I pay taxes. I've got great credit, which is weird. I've got a license. All cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So why go to college when you can just screw around for 13 years or whatever, man, you know?
Be seriously. I mean, seriously. It's a what can, a great system we have.
You can drop and do 100 push-ups anytime, anywhere, for any reason.
And eat faster than anyone else in the restaurant.
I can still do more pull-ups than anyone in this room.
Hell yeah, and I you know what, that's for the first year, that was something, but you know, it's been 2 years since I've been out, so it's all good. But now I can't really do push-ups that many anymore. But yeah, it was all about that. But so in my 20s, probably my early 20s, I was doing a whole lot of illegal substances and dealing with a whole lot of shady people. So I actually purchased this truck, $1,000. And the guy I purchased this truck from was kind of shady in the first place. But me, my girl, bunch of friends went up camping, and we took this truck. I brought my dog, had this 410 shotgun, brought a bunch of weed at the time, which wasn't legal at the time. But
sounds like you're going to write a country western song.
Oh,
got a
man.
Dog, got a shotgun, you know, got a pickup truck, going camping. Sounds like Florida and Georgia Lions going to break out.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go. So on our way back, don't have no shells anymore. You know, we're all yippee-ki-yay. We're back on like Port of Tacoma exit. And, I see this ambulance coming up behind us. So obviously, even though I was living the life I did, I was respectful and I pulled over to the side just like everyone else. We got off the exit, one lane splits into three, and I get in the right hand lane. The ambulance passed us. We all start pulling forward, and out of nowhere, the ambulance slams on his brakes, takes a sharp right turn, and actually T-bones me, hits me in the side on the driver's side, pushes my truck up over the curb, and backs up, and then takes off. Again, I mean, just continues going. He doesn't check on us, doesn't nothing. I mean, an ambulance. So I'm not sure who did it, probably the business owners. It was a truck parking lot, whatever. So the cops show up, and I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be my, you know, I got some kind of weird thought. I'm going to make money off of this. But it didn't happen. They arrested me, and I was arrested for...
Why were you arrested?
Stolen vehicle.
Oh.
I was arrested for stolen vehicle, altered plates, altered tabs. I had a pop pipe, bunch of paraphernalia in my glove box. They got me for my dog not being on a leash in the back, and no driver's license and no insurance.
Of course your dog doesn't have a driver's license.
Oh no! Yeah, seriously. I mean, he was a good dog too.
So you were driving. You were driving without a driver's license. You were driving without insurance. Did you know you were on stolen tags in a stolen car?
In your heart of hearts, you knew. In your heart of hearts, you knew. You bought it from the shady guy.
I did. You know, that's debatable.
Is that why you ended up in jail?
Yeah, all those things. And I had a warrant for my arrest for possession that I never showed up to court.
Yeah, that's why the warrant was out.
So what was up with the ambulance, man? Did you ever find out what the ambulance
was? Yeah, I did. So they drove probably another 200 yards into this old, it was a semi-truck parking lot, and there was two dead guys back there that had OD'd on heroin.
Jeez.
And that's when they were in such, they were in the big rush to go help them.
Well, wait, if they're dead, okay. I mean, why are you gonna be in a rush?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop at Taco Bell.
Well, I mean, sucks for those guys, but
yeah.
They took me to jail. I spent about a weekend and got bailed out, and my court date was set for like a month, 2 months down the road. Well, I decided that I was going to move to Northern California, so I get this. I'm like, oh, damn. You know, like 2 days before my court date, I got to fly up to Washington. So I go into Pierce County courthouse on my court date, and I sat in there for like 3 hours waiting for all these people to go in front of the judge. And the prosecutor, because I have such a record, the prosecutor is like, nah, we're not letting you get away. So they kept on pushing me to the back. And then to the very, very, I was the very last person. And this was like probably a week before Christmas. So the judge finally was like, well, listen, let's deal with this guy. So I go up to the front, and the judge is like, I'm like, yeah, they're going to drop the hammer on me. I'm not going back home. And the judge is like, we need the arresting officer in the courtroom. And the prosecutor tried their butt off to try and find this guy, and they could not find this officer. So the judge was like, well, Mr. Such and Such, Merry Christmas, case dismissed.
You got away with all that crap.
And then I drove to lawless Humboldt County and lived in the woods.
That's exactly what I said. We said Northern California.
I took my dog and I hid where the only law is your neighbor shooting at you.
Right.
Yeah. That was one of my many, and I can go on. I got stories upon stories.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Hold on, wait. Yeah. Why? So you said you've been out of jail right now for the last 2 years. You're sober, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Right? All right. What were you in jail for most recently?
Manufacturing, almost 11 years.
Jeez.
Back in
manufacturing marijuana.
It was,
meth.
No. No. Yep. Yep.
So you did.
And like I said, that was in my 30s, right when I turned 30. And I actually, like I said, I've been clean for 12 years now. I'm not going to go into where I work, but it's a very respectful job, and it's something that that I've done. I've done heavy equipment my whole life, and I finally got my crap together. I've been sober for over almost 13 years on July 3rd.
Is that everything? And, you don't smoke cigarettes? You don't drink occasional glass of wine or whatever?
I didn't smoke for like 8 months after I got out, but I did start smoking cigarettes again.
Yeah, smoking's always the fallback. Yeah, well, sure, nobody loves it.
Oh, man.
How long did it take you to clean up when you went to jail, right? So you're manufacturing meth. I'm guessing you probably imbibed in meth as well?
Yeah.
All right, so when they throw you in prison, I mean, how long does it take you to detox and kind of get that out of your system?
You know what? Okay, so I got a different view on that. I don't believe that people have, a disease. It's a personal choice. Empower yourself to make that right decision. Empower yourself to make a decision. Yes, I want to do it. No, don't want to do it. There is no real detox. You just sleep a lot and then you eat.
I was going to say, how much weight did you gain?
So when I got locked up, I was about 135, and now I'm just under 200.
Yeah, that's about right, man. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you don't eat for months at a time, that'll happen.
And you wear shirts with sleeves and everything.
I'm just surprised you survived living in Northern California. That's probably the most dangerous aspect of all that.
Yeah, I mean, I did some pretty crazy stuff, and I'm surprised I lived through it. And
I just got to say, though, like, you went to prison, you did your time. Like, I just don't see you really getting over on the system, though. Like, that one instance, but...
Well, it's the one instance he called about. That's the one, Ted. And then after that, you did 11 years.
That's the one that kind of made me chuckle. I mean, I've got a federal story, the bomb threats at the airport, too, but...
You did not make a bomb threat at the airport. Did you make a bomb threat at the airport?
Held on the Patriot Act.
Yeah. Were you physically
acted SeaTac Federal Holding?
Were you physically at the airport when you made a bomb threat?
I didn't make a bomb threat. I just said the word bomb. I was really drunk. I made a comment in reference to the package I was holding because the stupid people at TSA, because they're so awesome, were giving me crap, and I'm all super tattooed and all that. So they gave me crap, and I was intoxicated, so I held it up over my head and. My buddies were like, laughing. And I was like, well, they said I had an effing bomb. And two federal air marshals walked by when I said it. I didn't know because they're dressed as civilians. But
that's how they do their job.
They didn't take kindly. But that one actually worked. I got past that one, too, because they locked me up under the Patriot Act for like 2 weeks, let me out. I was on electronic home monitoring. And then probably 3 months later, I had to take UAs all the time because my record is all, drugs.
But you realize only someone who did 11 years in jail would tell us that story and then say, haha, sure. But I got out of it because I was locked up for 2 weeks, had 3 months on an ache. Like, to me, that's not getting away with anything.
Where were you supposed to fly to? Where were you flying to that day?
Where do you think? I was going, it was a present. I was flying with buddies down to Vegas, and then I was flying again down to Arizona for my daughter's birthday, and then back to Vegas.
So you're basically
you tell your daughter,
and instead you ended up 2 weeks in jail.
Yeah, lost my ticket, and then I had a pay-to-four ticket back over to Oahu. I used to live over there in January, and I lost that ticket too because they put me on a no-fly list.
So you can't even fly now to this day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can fly now.
Okay.
Oh, now. I was gonna say, your relationship with your daughter, how was that?
you know, I'm trying to work on it, man.
Okay.
She was 5 when I got locked up, and she's 16 now. She's an amazing, amazing girl. She lives down at I spent more time on dope and paying attention than I did concentrating on my child.
Wait until my kids find that out about
she
me.
Paid for that.
What was her? What was the birthday that you missed? How old was she when you missed a birthday?
She was. Let me see. She was 4.
Ah,
damn. That's a good one, man.
Oh.
I mean, not to rub it in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I just know
I don't even
like,
miss other people's 4-year-old birthdays.
How in the hell could you? She was looking for you.
I mean, I don't get warm and fuzzy much, but the little kid birthdays, man, like, yeah.
Let me tell you. I mean, what time that I was locked up, I mean, I saw her. I got locked up when she was 5. I got to see her when she was 11. She actually flew up with her mom and came into prison, and it was real difficult. And then I've seen her once since I've been out, and
Is it getting better?
I don't know, man.
Do you think it's getting better?
No. You know, kinda, but not really. Okay. Again, I've never really been the responsible dad, and I'm really trying, and I really, really want that, but I can't push that relationship.
You can only do what you can do. But look, no matter what, man, you can't get it back. But the good news is you're not in jail now. So no matter how much anger she has toward you, the worst of it's behind her. To let her process it. Right. I think you'll be all right.
There you go.
Keep trying, man.
And don't say bomb at the airport.
I mean, for Christ's sake. Because you'll never get
there. Like you were struck.
That's
like
the easiest
you
one.
You bomb at an airport, and that's why you missed it.
Right.
Like, sorry. That's just dumb.
Right. How did you or someone beat her get around the system? 844-999-OLA. More of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A nightmare commute is only made worse when you see people cheating the system. The CHP is cracking down on the problem. And ABC 7 News reporter Leslie Brinkley rode along with a patrol officer to ask questions about what they look for and when they issue citations. Officer Chris Torres served as guide to the ins and outs of catching cheaters on the I-680 corridor outside of San Francisco. He says he looks for people who zip in and out of carpool lanes as soon as they see the patrol nearby. You obviously weren't supposed to be there because you moved out when you saw me, and that's when I'll allow them to pass me, and I'll get behind them and make a stop. When asked what the main excuse people give when they are stopped for cheating, he says, they tell me they were only in the lane for a second or someone cut them off.
You know, listen, to all the cops out there, you do know that we stop doing everything we're doing when we see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if we're not doing anything bad,
you're just doing nothing.
Feel guilty, right? It doesn't matter what you're doing. Everyone drives different instantly when they see cops.
Torres says, I've had some dolls and dummies sitting in the passenger seat. I've had people say, I'm pregnant. Does that count as two? When asked if anyone ever tried to claim that their dog is a second passenger, he said, yeah, all the time. That's a sensitive subject to certain people, and I don't want to step on toes to tell them it doesn't count. But now, no, you can't do that. Our question, how did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-999-OLA.
Well, I don't want to step on your toes, and I understand it's very important to you, but I'm going to give you a ticket anyway.
No.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to tell somebody their dog doesn't matter to them, but I would say that's not a human. It doesn't work here.
Right, like, you know that much. Well, you do know that much, man. I don't care how much you love your pet. You do understand that it doesn't give you the HOV lane, right?
Did you send it to school?
Mm-hmm. Well, some people do.
Well, all right.
See, man, that's problem people today.
It doesn't
today.
Go to grade school. It goes...
But the dog is a part of my family.
Your dog is a part of the family, but at no point is it a human being you're getting this ticket.
Can I get an HOV lane if I got, like, an infant in the car?
Yeah.
Sitting in the back.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
If I'm the cop, if it's under 30 pounds, no way.
Yeah, because that's my thought. Like, man, this baby contributes as much as your dog, which means when you get home, you're happy to see it because it's cute and it's happy to see you, and then it's done.
But when do they charge people for babies? Like, if I go to a sporting event and I have an 8-month-year-old.
You're cool.
All right, what if I got a 1-year-old?
You're cool.
So what's
two basically is a magic cutoff. Essentially, it's this.
Another
if that
seat.
Kid is going to take a seat. So this is the thing that sucks about, like, buying airplane tickets, man. if I'm going to take the kids somewhere, now that they're over the age of two, and they're old enough now where I should pay for them, but when they were like 2 or 3 years old, I'm spending as much for them as I did for me. The problem is they didn't sit in their seats. They sat in my lap anyway, right? Because they're still at that age. And that's when my son peed in my lap. And I thought, man, I paid $500 for you to pee through my pants. Thank you.
Nice.
That's a great flight. Great flight. Hello, Joey. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Right on, guys. Appreciate your guys' station.
Thank you, man.
My story is a few years ago. It is Black Friday, a dark, stormy, wet Black Friday. And my mom and my uncle, they're there early, about 4 o'clock in the morning. They're the first people there in line. So they get real buddy-buddy with the security guard. They start talking about the weather, you know, small chat. End up becoming pretty good buddies with him. Then, you know, store opens. They go in. They do the whole Black Friday thing. People are running around, going crazy. And they went in for some TVs specifically. They went in for these 70-inch screen TVs. So long story short, they're at the checkout line, and the cashier is checking out the TVs, scans one, proceeds to go back to her cash register, and my uncle kind of gives my mom this look. You know, my mom gives a look back, and they just kind of, okay, well, she didn't scan the other one. We'll see what happens. So rings them up, right? And so they're walking, and they realize that there's a security guard at the door checking everybody's receipts. It's Black Friday, right? So now they're sweating. They don't see who it is, but of course it's the buddy-buddy security guard that they were hanging out with in the front. They pull out the receipt. They try to give it to him. He goes, oh, no, you guys are good. Go ahead. Have a nice day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Brand new 70-inch HD TV. And where's that bad boy hanging now?
In the living room.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, at least you have a nice TV when you want to go over and watch something, you know, sporting event or whatever. That's a big-ass TV.
Dude, my friend went to deposit a bunch of cash.
All right.
And they sent, you know, like the car deal where it's like.
Oh, yeah, the vacuum tube?
Yeah, and the tube. The tube came back with a receipt for a $400 deposit. And then me and the friend went to, like, the Department of Licensing, and he reaches in his pocket. He's like, I still have the $400.
What are you going to do?
But oh, it was no
already,
way.
Yeah, they'd already given him a receipt that he was plus $400 on his account.
I knew a guy who he would go to the ATM, and he would make a deposit, but you have to fill out the envelope. So he'd fill out all the stuff, and he put the envelope in, and then he knew he could take cash out versus it. But he didn't put any money in the envelope.
And that worked for a while.
It worked for a while.
Wow.
It worked for a while.
Damn.
But yeah, $300 a time. Yeah.
Still to come, who sucks less and what you don't need to know. Share some dirty company secrets. We'll do all that right after emails on our question. How did you or someone beat or get around the system? 844-999-OLA.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.